Okay, welcome everyone. Tonight, I don't know what I'm going to talk about. How's that for a beginning? Now you're all going to go away, right? No, I had two things I wanted to talk about, and they're both very important. I was debating which one to talk about. And one of them was excuses, and I don't think I fully touched, I don't know if I even touched on it much at all in the last class. But excuses are a big thing. We set a goal and then we don't follow it, and we may have excuses, which excuses means we blame it on somebody or some situation or some inherent fault of ours that we don't think we can change. So that was one idea. And then I had another idea, which was a course that I developed many years ago, which was called Life Directions. And the purpose of the course was to help devotees get in touch with what they want to do with their life. What is their mission in the service of Krishna? What were they created to do? And one of the things I realized from developing this course and in my own life is that when you are in touch or inspired by something, then the excuses kind of go away, and the determination, the self-discipline, and all the things that we've been talking about that are required to follow through on commitments, they're automatically there because you're inspired to do something. And, you know, there's a saying, obstacles are the things you see when you lose sight of the goal. And if you think about it, why would you really lose sight of a goal unless you weren't that interested in the goal in the first place? You might say, well, I lose sight of the goal because the goal is difficult. Well, if you really want to achieve something, then difficulties aren't, they don't really matter that much because you're more fixed on achieving what you want rather than what you have to overcome to get it. And if what you have to overcome to get it deters you, then probably that's because what your goal, what you're striving to get or achieve is not really that important to you. So I was debating, you know, which side to go. If we just talk about excuses, it's good to understand what excuses are. But, you know, Krishna consciousness has this aspect that if you get a taste, then you give up the lower taste. So if you have something that inspires you, something that you really want to achieve, it motivates you, then it seems that the excuses will naturally just fall to the wayside. They won't really be there. So, therefore, I thought, well, tonight let's talk about what inspires us, or how to get inspired, how to get in touch with what inspires us. And then we may, at that point, talk about some excuses in terms of achieving or some of the obstacles that we may confront. So, this subject is important because Bhagavad Gita was based on what? Arjuna basically wanting to be a renunciate and a Brahmin, live like a Brahmin, a sadhu, when he was a Kshatriya, and Krishna told him, no, it's your nature to fight. Even if you give it up, you're going to fight anyway, because that's who you are. Those modes of nature are what you're made of. You are Kshatriya by nature. Can't really give it up. If you try to give it up, you're going to do it anyway. So that not only applies to Arjuna, it applies to all of us. And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna calls the body, what does he call the body? Calls it a machine, yantra. Yantra rudrani mayaya. You know that verse, Manjesh? Yantra rudrani mayaya. A machine seated on material energy. So if we take this definition that the body's a machine, then we know that machines do certain things and they don't do certain things. They are constructed in a particular way. An automobile is a machine, a washing machine, a dishwasher, a dryer. An iron is a kind of machine, a bicycle, a computer, a microphone, a camera. They all have specific functions, or they have multiple functions, but they can't do everything. So a lot of times I look at the body individual, my body or someone else's body, and I say, okay, it's a machine. What does the machine do? What does it do well? What does it not do so well? And we know, all of us, we know that certain things come easy to us and certain things are difficult for us. And the things that are difficult for us are not necessarily difficult for other people. And the things that we are inclined to do, not everyone is inclined to do. And the way we look at the world, the way we think about things, the way our mind analyzes things is different from the way other people analyze things. Of course, some people may have similar inclinations and they may analyze things in a similar way to us, but not everybody, obviously. So if we look at the body, we can see it's constituted to have certain proclivities, certain abilities, certain disabilities, certain kinds of intelligence. So what is that? Why did Krishna create us that way? Sometimes we look for unity. We want everyone to be the same. If everyone were the same, it wouldn't be good. Sometimes we may think it would be good. We would all agree, but everything would be the same. There would be no diversity. So Krishna has created people differently because society needs different kinds of people. Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras. So what are we and how do we engage that in Krishna's service? That is what I want to talk about. Now, I know when I talk about these things, a thought that comes up in devotees' minds is, well, are we really supposed to do what we want, or are we supposed to do what Krishna wants? Well, yes, we are supposed to do what Krishna wants. But if you see Bhagavad Gita, Krishna wanted Arjuna to act according to his nature. So what is your yantra? What is your nature? What is your nature? And how can you employ that in Krishna's service? Another thing to consider, that in the beginning of Krishna consciousness, or not necessarily even in the very beginning, but while we are conditioned, we have to employ our nature in Krishna's service. That is what is called karma yoga. There are certain proclivities, a certain nature that we have, we may not be able to give up because it's so ingrained within us, and we need to utilize that in Krishna's service. It shouldn't be considered a fault. It is just the way things are. And I would say it's more of a fault if you have particular talents that can be employed, well employed in Krishna's service, or should be employed in Krishna's service, and you don't employ them. That would also be a false kind of renunciation, that you have something, you're not giving it to Krishna. One time a devotee asked Prabhupada, "What should I do with my anger?" And Prabhupada said, "Oh, you have something you're not giving to Krishna?" So you would think, anger, how can I use my anger in Krishna's service? Well, we can become angry at things that would disturb Krishna or disturb our spiritual master or disturb the progress of helping other people with Krishna consciousness. So in the broadest sense, everything can be engaged in Krishna's service. Now, it's important not to think that we need to be able to do everything. And because sometimes we'll see another devotee is very capable in a particular way, and we're not so capable in that area. And we may think, well, I should also be capable. That may be true in some cases, but we can't always be capable in every area. And if another person is more capable than you or I in a particular area, that's wonderful. We can capitalize on our particular talents and abilities and inclinations. Now, why am I saying all this? Because it's very important in Krishna consciousness. I would say it's even more than very important. I would say it's essential that one finds service in Krishna consciousness that is extremely inspiring and satisfying. Why would I say this? Because Srila Prabhupada said, without enthusiasm, everything is finished. In other words, if we don't have enthusiasm for Krishna consciousness, our Krishna consciousness will be finished. That was Prabhupada's analysis. Enthusiasm is essential. Actually, Rupa Goswami says in the Nectar of Instruction, utsahan, the first quality, enthusiasm. So you can artificially be enthusiastic for some time, but generally enthusiasm comes through inspiration for a particular service or working on a particular project, something that encompasses your intellect and encompasses you emotionally. And just, you know, your every cell of your body is inspired by it. So that's important. It's extremely important. Now, another way to understand the importance of that is Param Drishta Nivartate. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that higher taste, and we all know this very well, by having a higher taste, we can overcome the lower taste. And of course, technically speaking, this higher taste would be called ruchi, which is an advanced stage of Krishna consciousness, which comes after nishta, and nishta means steadiness. So that ruchi is actually a taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna. It's a taste for the relationship, the sweetness of the relationship, and the processes of devotional service in that relationship. So inspiration for a particular service can come before the stage of ruchi. So we can actually, by our nature, we can have a taste for a particular activity, and then we can engage that in Krishna's service, so we become even more, that activity becomes even more fulfilling and more inspiring. And it is through that inspiration that we can give up the lower taste or the taste for material things. That's why it is so important. If we are not inspired in Krishna consciousness, it's dangerous. If we're dragging our feet, it's dangerous. So there's a letter Srila Prabhupada wrote to a manager, and he said that you should challenge the devotees, you give the devotees a challenge. And what he meant by was help them come out of their comfort zone to some degree, challenge them in Krishna consciousness according to what inspires them. So if we're challenged that way, if we're challenged to come out of our comfort zone into this area of total inspiration and devotional service, so that when we wake up in the morning, we're so happy that we can engage, we have some time in the day to do that service, we look forward to it, we think about it, we plan about it, we talk about it with our friends, we want to get every spare moment to work on it. That's how we want to be. And then what do you think will happen if you're like that? Prabhupada said. He said, if a devotee is inspired in their service, then automatically their sadhana will be inspired. Interesting, isn't it? That automatically, if you're inspired in service, you're inspired in chanting. Because they work together. Service inspires chanting. Then you want to chant better to become more empowered to do your service. And then that empowered chanting inspires you more in your service. Your service inspires your chanting and inspires your sadhana. Then you want to hear more about Krishna to become more inspired and capable in your service. And you want to rise earlier in the morning so you have more time to do your service. And then your mind, Savai Mana Krishna Padhara Vindaya. The mind should be at Krishna's feet. So then your mind is thinking of all the ways that you can engage in this service. That is why inspiration in Krishna consciousness is so important. Without it, it's extremely difficult to maintain. So, what inspires you? That is the big question. That is the question of tonight's discussion. What inspires you? What would you like to do in Krishna's service? What is that thing that you might have already promised yourself that you should be doing? Or that thing that you would regret if you were to die tonight, you would regret not having done. So you find out. Krishna reveals to you that tonight is your last night in this body. And then you think, oh, I always wanted to write this book, or I always wanted to create this video, or I always wanted to write this article, or I always wanted to open this center, or I always wanted to do this radio show, or I always wanted to do this magazine, or I always wanted to start this business for spreading Krishna consciousness. I always wanted to open this center, or I always wanted to produce this music, or do this painting, or write this poem, or whatever it may be. And if you only had a few more hours left to live, what would that be? Or if Krishna came to you and said, I'll facilitate any service, whatever it is, what would it be? You could now do anything in Krishna's service. What would that be? These are important questions to look at. Very important. And when we answer these questions, then stage two begins. We start working on them. And my contention is that if you answer this question and you get the right answer, it's easy to get, you could also get the wrong answer, but if you actually get the right answer, how do you know it's the right answer? Because you will become preoccupied with inspiration. And you will be finding more and more time to engage in that activity. Now, Srila Prabhupada said to us in the very early days of the movement, he gave us a schedule. We should rise at such and such a time, but then we should do our morning program, then clean the temple, then go on Sankirtan, and then come home, have evening class, and so on. And then he said, if you follow the schedule, there will be no Maya in your life. So I have found in my own life, and I have found in the lives of other devotees, that if we're finding time for Maya, you know what that means, time for Maya. Who knows what finding time for Maya means? I just have a lot of time to waste in Maya, right? Got a lot of time to sit around and just waste. That is a symptom, I would say, that is a symptom of not being inspired in Krishna consciousness. My contention is that if you are connected with what is your mission, what is who you are, what you were created to do, if you're connected with that mission, every spare moment you'll want to use in working on that mission, you'll be so inspired that you won't have time for Maya. We could write a song, right? Watching TV, Surfer Bob, watching TV. Riding some good waves. Surfer Bob, if you get inspired in Krishna consciousness, you may not even want to ride any waves. The internet. Any sinful activity, you will lose interest. That, you know, I want to tell you a wonderful story. You want to hear this story? It's really nice. I really love the story. I heard it once in 1975 and I never forgot it. And I may have told it before, but if I have, it's worth repeating. Transcendental surfer, surfing the waves of bhakti, yes. The waves of devotion, bhakti rasamrita sindhu, that ocean. Surfer Bob is surfing the ocean, transcendental ocean. So, in 1975, it might have been 1976, Srila Prabhupada came to Los Angeles. He actually came every year. Los Angeles at that time was the world headquarters of the Hare Krishna movement. And they had book publication. They had the BBT. All the books were being laid out there. All the artists who were painting for the books lived there. That was where all the books were being stored, warehoused. They had the Golden Avatar recording studios. That was the company that was recording all of Srila Prabhupada's lectures and also producing other Krishna conscious music and recording Prabhupada's bhajans. They had the Spiritual Sky Incense Company there. They had the LA Temple, which was number one at that time, or number two in book distribution, and number one in the new devotee making program, and number one in deity worship. There's just so much going on. So Srila Prabhupada came there and the devotees wanted to give him a tour. So also the Fate Museum, they were building dioramas, diorama exhibitions. So they took Srila Prabhupada to all the different departments, the art department, book publishing, the Fate department where they were making the dioramas, the recording studio, the book warehouse, Spiritual Sky. He was going everywhere. And as he went through all these different departments, either while he was going, I don't remember the details, while he was going or at the end of the day, then he said, sing for Krishna, make money for Krishna, paint for Krishna, sell books for Krishna, do business for Krishna, because each department, that's what they were doing. And so his whole point was just be engaged in whatever it is that you do, but do it for Krishna. And don't be afraid. If that's what you do well and it can be employed in Krishna's service, then you should think that if you don't employ it in Krishna's service, it's a sin. It's not a sinful activity, but as we say in colloquial language, that would be a sin. You have a talent, you don't engage it in Krishna's service. It's a kind of sin. That Krishna gave you that talent, so it's meant to be used in his service. And you may have many talents, so how do you engage? What do you do? That's the whole point. Tonight, I want you to take this question with you and just keep looking at it. What is your nature? What are you good at? What comes easy to you? What inspires you? What could you just work on? Like 24 hours a day, day after day, and just be totally inspired with. And you could work on your whole life. What would you work on if you didn't need money and you just had a devotional project and you could just work on that and do it? What would you do? These are important questions. And then, as you think about this over the next few days, start thinking how you can employ that in Krishna's service. Now, I'll give you some examples because I did a seminar on this. And many interesting things came up. And a lot of what I saw come up was that there was a lot of stuff that was just being dug up out of the heart of people, that they kind of may not have been fully in touch with it, but it may have been so subtle or so deeply covered within them that it required some work to bring it out, but it's something that in some way they were already connected with, but they didn't acknowledge it. So I'll give you some nice examples. One devotee became inspired to start a Krishna conscious orphanage, and she said that it had been something that inspired her, that she was inspired by. I don't know if previously she was even thinking of doing it, but she was inspired by it, and she at that point connected with that inspiration and said that she wanted to do that. Another person became inspired to take care of cows or produce milk products, ghee and other products, natural products from healthy cows, and start a business with that. Another devotee was working with children who had attention deficit disorder. He was working in a hospital. And he had felt previously, before coming to the event, he had the idea or the notion that children with attention deficit disorder could be cured by the Maha Mantra, by chanting. So anyway, after coming to the seminar, he really connected with that. And he was working in a hospital, and he spoke with the management in the hospital and eventually got permission to use japa as therapy for attention deficit disorder. That was his inspiration. So, I mean, there are many, many, many things which we can do in the service of Krishna. That was just a sample of what I can remember. Another devotee was a songwriter, recording artist. So she was already connected with that. But connecting with a broader vision of how to use that in Krishna's service, or she connected more with her musical talents and connection as an educational tool for bringing people closer to Krishna. Then another interesting thing happened. This is really, you might be able to really relate to this. There was a woman who was a musician before joining Krishna consciousness, and gradually she took a leading role over the years in our movement, and she even became a temple president and had a lot of managerial responsibilities. And her musical career, so to speak, was put on hold for the most part. And she was not really happy in that position as a manager. I saw her in her last few months as manager, and it wasn't, she didn't seem happy. And anyway, so she told me that she was not feeling well, and she was in India, and she went to an Ayurvedic doctor. And the doctor said, "You're sick because you're not doing your music, because that's how, that's so connected with who you are and how you express yourself for Krishna in his service, that you need to do that. And that's, you're sick because you're not doing it." So I found that very interesting, that, that some things are so deeply connected with our nature that we need to do them to be satisfied. And I'll tell you another interesting story. There was a devotee who was an actor, and he was in a troupe called the Vaikuntha Players, and Srila Prabhupada liked the Vaikuntha Players very much, and Vaikuntha Players, Prabhupada actually paid for them to travel the world and perform. He was so impressed, not only impressed by them, but he again and again remarked how powerful drama was in presenting Krishna consciousness. One time he said, it's the living books. One time he said, it's even better than my books, because it has such an impact on people. So many years after Prabhupada left, our group, the Vaikuntha Players, were no longer performing. And so one day I was in a park, I was chanting my rounds in the evening. And in the park, a few hundred yards away over a fence, I really couldn't see. It was blocked by bushes, but I could hear that Shakespeare was being performed. It was an amphitheater, so the sound was carrying to where we were outside the theater. And I was walking with my wife, and we were listening to one of the actors, and we said, "That sounds like so-and-so." And as we listened more, we realized, yes, it was the devotee in the Vaikuntha Players, and he was performing Shakespeare. And then we turned to one another and we said, "See, that is his nature. He must act." And there was no facility at that point where he was living to put on dramas, and so he was acting Shakespeare. So what did Krishna tell Arjuna? "What good will repression accomplish? You will act according to your nature." So it's important to be in touch with our nature, not someone else's nature, not compete with someone, but be in touch with our nature, employ that in Krishna's service. And that is generally the way we can best serve Krishna. Now, of course, I'm emphasizing this side, and you may be thinking, as I mentioned earlier, well, what about the other side of just doing whatever Krishna wants? That is also there. But if you look at the broad, in the broadest vision, Srila Prabhupada has given us a mission, and within that mission, there's so many ways we can serve. So there's the parameters, these broad parameters of what Srila Prabhupada wanted. And within those broad parameters, there's so many ways that we can engage in service. So, now, does anyone have any questions before we go on? Or disagreements? Or arguments. Or you want to make a list of all the things you do when you're not Krishna conscious? How can we serve Krishna in many ways? Well, you don't necessarily have to serve in many ways. And, of course, some people are talented. They can do that. I'm suggesting that it doesn't have to be many ways. But it should be a way in which it extracts naturally energy from you, that it's something you are so enthused to do in Krishna service that naturally you just have energy for that service. I would like to read a quote here. You know, I began this class by talking about goals and how if there's inspiration, then we'll follow through on our goals, or we can use commitments or vows as well. So this is an interesting point in line with what I'm talking about. Why don't we follow through on many of our goals? It's because the goals are not that worthy. If there is a passion in fulfilling a mission, other goals will also have the same passion. We need to find that calling, that mission, that purpose. So I think one of the main reasons that we don't follow through on a goal is it's not impassioned. We just don't care that much about it. It doesn't inspire us. It may not be our nature. And so, you know, if you set goals and don't achieve them, at least, or you commit to things, but you don't follow through, or don't, or you break your commitments, you may want to look at this as a possible cause. Well, maybe it's just something that is not that important and not that inspiring. It's not a worthy goal. So, you know, of course, Krishna consciousness in general is a worthy goal. So, okay. How can we serve Krishna in many ways? That was your first question. Your next question is, what do you think about the war in relation to what we're talking about? You know, in modern society, wars are fought for different reasons than they were fought in previous times. But still, the idea of kshatriya or military man, kshatriya means one who protects. So the idea of military is protection. And one of the problems that we face now is that there is not a Krishna conscious society. So if one wants to be part of the military, it's not a military that's engaged in protecting people and defending religious principles. But the question might be, well, if one has that inclination, what should he do? Well, there is a devotee who went to Iraq, and he used that inclination by making the men under him Krishna conscious to one degree or another. He actually, on the base in Iraq, had a Rath Yatra festival. So, you know, there are ways, you know, let's say you really have this nature to fight, be a military man. So you can go in the military and then gradually influence the military in a Krishna conscious way, if that's your inspiration. And can we use TV for Krishna? Well, that depends on what end of the TV you're at. You can definitely use TV by producing TV shows. As far as the other end of the TV, then you have to watch Krishna conscious TV shows, obviously. One time, Srila Prabhupada, there was discussion that, I don't know how it came about, but there was the possibility of Prabhupada giving classes on television in the early 70s. There was no cable TV then, I don't think. So this was like mainstream television, NBC, CBS, ABC. There weren't that many stations then. And so Prabhupada said if he could sit in one place and preach Krishna consciousness on television, that would be the success of his mission, because he felt that he could, I guess, accomplish more that way, that he could be preaching to millions of people. So certainly we can use TV for Krishna, and if you're expert at making money, you can make enough money and buy your own TV station, like they have the Trinity Broadcasting Network. You ever seen that? It's an all-Christian programming television station. And they have the Eternal World Broadcasting Network. Have you heard of that? That is owned by the Catholic Church. And if you watch the Eternal World Broadcasting Network, like I did the other day, I was on a trip, and Sunday morning I turn on the TV in the hotels so I can see all the preachers, and there was the Eternal World Broadcasting Network, and there were the nuns in the church chanting rosary. So they had them, you know, if you want to chant rosary, then for half an hour you could chant rosary with this show. So we can have a japa show. But they had another show. Oh yeah. Then they were commenting on the rosary, and one of the commentators said, I think we should write a book about the significance of the rosary. I thought, yeah, we have so many books on the significance of japa. So, movies for Krishna, yes. Now, here's an important point. There was a devotee who joined early in the movement, and his wife was a photographer, and he was a filmmaker by profession. So he made all the films that you have today, or most of the films that you see today about Prabhupada. And Prabhupada encouraged that. That's what he did. So it was a talent he had. He was trained to do it, so Prabhupada fully supported him in doing that. So yes, movies for Krishna, if you can pull it off, anything. I mean, you know, of course, there are practical considerations, but I would say the point is, Prabhupada says, Rupa Goswami says, the whole point is to always think of Krishna and never forget him. And all rules and regulations are meant to support it. So one of the greatest ways to support this is to do something which is really who you are, really who Krishna made you to be. And then you engage that way. You know, and I would say, yeah, Acharya, your ever well wisher, yeah. They were all made by this devotee. And that the latest series that he's made are unreleased footage of Srila Prabhupada with the soundtrack with the devotees who were in the footage describing what was going on at the time. I don't know the name of that series. It's done by Yadavar. What's it called?
Following Srila Prabhupada.
Following Srila Prabhupada there. I don't know. You know. And if you get 1970 in Los Angeles, you'll get to see me getting my Brahminical initiation. And you'll get to see me when I had hair and a nice big sika. So that's special if you get that. Of course, you should get all of them. And if you see 1970 in the summer, then you'll see me at Rath Yatra in San Francisco. At the ripe old age of 20. Yes, I was once 20. It's hard to believe. But I was. So, what is your calling? That's the question. Now, you have some occupation. All right. You're working. You're supporting your family. So that's one thing. You may not be able to change your occupation. But you have so much free time. What do you do? How can you use that free time according to what you do well, what inspires you, in the service of Krishna, whatever that is? That is essentially important. If you do this, I can make a guarantee, money back, guarantee, from yours truly, Mahatma Das, I can guarantee, if you do this, it will transform your spiritual life. I guarantee if you do this, you will find that Maya's grip on you will just loosen. As we were saying before, you'll have no time. Have you ever, as I was 12 in 1970, yeah. I first met the devotees in 1969. So in 1969, I imagine there might not have been more than 100 devotees in the worldwide Hare Krishna movement. So we didn't know much about them. And we were all very young. But the movement was so inspired because it was revolutionary. Devotees wanted to create a transcendental revolution. Everyone was extremely inspired. In fact, this is such a nice point that you brought this up. In 1969, in December of 1969, I was going to college in Berkeley. And I had been studying Bhagavad Gita. At that time, at the end of the semester, December was the end of the semester, I decided I wanted to be a devotee. I had learned about Krishna consciousness in Berkeley the previous 3 months. So I was raised in Los Angeles. My parents were living there. I drove back to Los Angeles for the Christmas vacation. And then I was very excited about Krishna consciousness. So I was telling my friends and bringing my friends to the temple. So I brought one friend to the temple. And we stayed a few hours. And then he went home, I said. I called him the next day. I said, how did you like it? said, I'm never going back there. I said, why? He said, if I go back there, I'll become a devotee. I'll move in. So could you imagine what the atmosphere of the temple was like for someone to say that? He'd only gone for 2 hours. But the devotees were so inspired in Krishna consciousness that my friend off the street walking into a temple for 2 hours was afraid to come back because he knew if he did, he'd become a devotee. So that says a lot about the inspiration. The devotees were so inspired. And in that inspiration, what happened? Natural detachment. Intense interest in giving Krishna to other people in some way using their talents and abilities and intelligence. And if you ever did a sociological study or historical analysis of the movement during those early days, you'll see tremendous amounts of creative intelligence being employed in Krishna's service. It was all very young devotees. Because Prabhupada would just encourage us, do what you do for Krishna. Yes, we all. Artie's saying she met a devotee in Wisconsin. Wow. I was in Milwaukee in 1974 on the streets. So that means you might have seen me when you were, well, I guess you didn't see me in 1974. We weren't wearing dhotis, so maybe you did see me. You wouldn't have recognized me. Anyway, inspiration. It's such a wonderful thing. I would like to read a few other things now. Unless someone has some question about inspiration. This is a quote by a minister. And I thought this is very inspiring for us. Ya Devi, where do you live? You met devotees a year ago. Yes, see, you're all devotees. You meet a devotee and you begin chanting. That means that you were already doing that in your last life, Bosnia. So you're already a devotee. How else could you just take to it like that? Listen to this. This is from a minister. Christian minister. There is no magic in small plans. When I consider my ministry, I think of the world. Anything less than the world would not be worthy of Christ, nor of his will for my life. So she's thinking, okay, we have a ministry. Ministry means a church and the outreach of the church. And she's thinking of the whole world. And this is her inspiration. But similarly, that's what Prabhupada was thinking. That was his inspiration. Every town and village. So, in Adi Kavi, the original poet, has joined us. So, another thing that I want to talk about in terms of inspiration, and I touched upon this a while back. You may remember if you were listening to these shows, I mentioned the idea that whatever we're doing with Krishna. So we may limit ourselves, but we should not limit Krishna. And so when we make plans or have goals, it's said that, you know, small goals don't really inspire, but it's the big goals that really inspire. And Michelangelo, you all know Michelangelo, we're going to quote Michelangelo today, because he said something that I really love, and I want to read this to you. So pay attention, I'm going to read this twice, it's very nice. The greatest danger for most of us is not that our goals are too high and we miss them. Because you might think, well, if I set my goals too high, I'll miss them. So I shouldn't set them too high because then I'll be a failure. The greatest danger for most of us is not that our goals are too high and we miss them, but that we set them low and reach them. Isn't that nice? The greatest danger for most of us is not that our goals are too high and we miss them, but that we set them low and reach them. So Srila Prabhupada said, my disease, did anybody know what Prabhupada said his disease was? My disease is that I cannot, I'll give you a hint, my disease is that I cannot, two more words, I cannot, or he might have said, my disease is that I, two words. Sound is gone. Uh-oh. My disease is I cannot think small. That was Prabhupada's disease, he said. My disease is that I always think big. So I encourage you, when you set an aspiration, I encourage you, do something, plan a little bigger than you might normally think is possible, and see what Krishna has in store. I would also like to read something else, but you have to give me a moment to find this. This is a very nice quote. Oh yeah, here it is. Unfortunately, I didn't note who wrote this, and I don't remember. Maybe some of you have heard this, and you can tell me. So I want to read another. So the Czech Republic, isn't it late there? What time is it in the Czech Republic? You must be up late at night, like 1 in the morning. Bosnia also. 1:47. You might as well stay up all night. You could start chanting your rounds when the show's over. Okay, I want to read this. Yeah, you guys are up. Have you gone to bed yet? Did you get up for the show because you know it's so good, or you're just staying up late at night? Okay. I want to read this. I'd like to read this to you. This is very nice. Concerning all acts of initiative and creation, there is one elementary truth, the ignorance of which kills countless ideas and splendid plans. And this is the truth, that the moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence moves too. All sorts of things occur to help one that would never otherwise have occurred. The whole stream of events issues from the decision, raising in one's favor all manner of unforeseen incidents, meanings, and material his way. In other words, what's being said is when you commit to do something, which we're saying here is because of an inspiration you have in Krishna service, that you commit to do it, and that means that you're focused on it, you're always thinking about it, you're always planning how to increase it. It sends out on a subtle level this energy, and it starts attracting resources to help you. People who want to help, money, situations, as soon as you focus. It's amazing. I don't know if any of you have that experience. Anyone out there have that experience that you really intensely desired to do something and things kind of over time fell in place? Anyone have that experience? It's a fact. If you focus on something intensely, you desire something intensely. Yes, Arati has that. I think if you all think about it to some degree or another, that's true. Oh, Surfer Bob, I lived that experience. Yeah. So the reason that I'm mentioning this is that when we make plans for service, we can make very big plans, knowing that Krishna's there and knowing that facility will come if we're focused. Adi Kavidas, I'm lost. What does that mean? You're not understanding? You set your mind, you have an intention to do something in Krishna's service. No, I'm lost means you're not hearing. You're lost because you don't have a silk sari? I don't understand. No. Anyway, I don't know how the silk saris got into this. So, have you ever heard the saying that if you don't know where you're going, the problem is you might end up there? Any of you ever heard that? Oh, Eddie's saying, I can't understand the class. Fix your mind on service to Krishna that inspires you, and keep that prominent in your mind, and desire that, and desire to even do greater service than you think you're capable of, and gradually you will see Krishna will give people to help, resources, and intelligence. If you don't know where you're going, you might end up there. That is often the case for many people, particularly if you end up in a place that you don't like. That's because it's kind of like you go out driving and you don't know where you're going. You're just driving around. Okay. So, I've said everything I want to say now. Does anyone have any questions? I have a question. Why do immoral non-Krishna consciousness have material power that Krishna... Why do immoral people, non-Krishna conscious people, have material power? That is a very good question. Because everyone is given particular facility and power and intelligence and ability according to past karma. And so the question is, well, why would Krishna give that if they're not going to use it for him? Because that's what they want. And Krishna is fulfilling the people's desires in this world. The problem is when bad people have bad desires, it causes harm to other people. But Krishna gives them the independent choice to do the wrong thing and will empower people. Of course, they're going to suffer for that in the future. So it's, you know, it's a cycle. They do something good, they become powerful, and then they misuse it, and then they suffer. So a lot of the people you see now, perhaps impoverished or diseased or in some way suffering, had misused power in the past. And they got that power due to something they did that was something good, some pious activity or religious activity. And then they misused it. And then they suffered. So that's kind of, you know, the Ferris wheel of the material world. Okay. Krishna is Hari and he takes away material wealth. That's true, but he only takes it away when it becomes an impediment. Now, let's say, Manjesh, you're a good business person and you're inspired to make money. That's fine as long as you can use the money in Krishna's service. And then if Krishna sees that you can use this money, he may shower all kinds of money on you. Because he sees that you know how to use it. I think it's also the same with intelligence or ability, that the more you use that in Krishna's service, the more he'll give it. Because he's seeing that you know how to use it. Right? He could take away the ability just as easily as he gives it if we misuse it. Or he could give us ability which entangles us. We misuse it. And we, as they say, give him enough rope and he'll hang himself. So Krishna could give us some ability by which we hang ourselves. But generally, for devotees, he would take it away if he saw that it would be detrimental. So you may, let's say, want to make a lot of money and use it in Krishna's service, and he may decide that that's not going to be good for you and he won't allow that to happen. Even it may be your karma to be very wealthy, he could not allow that to happen. And that's what happened to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said that. Prabhupada said, I was meant to be one of the richest men in India, but by the mercy of my guru, my business failed. And I had no recourse. And so I gave my life to Krishna. That's what Krishna wanted. So it's up to Krishna.
Huh.
I'm facing in my life this problem devotee. Good guys finish last. So we have to do what's, let's say you're dealing with a difficult situation. A devotee always thinks, let's do what's right. In terms of how a devotee should act, behavior. So, how do you use money in Krishna's service? Oh, donate to Krishna.com. That's one way. We just got our camera stolen, so anyone wants to donate. How much did a new camera cost? $300, $350. You can donate to Krishna.com for a camera. You can build temples. You can publish books. You can put up a website to preach. You can support devotees in their preaching. There's so many things you can do. If any of you have more money than you know what to do with, just give me a call and I'll tell you how to spend it in Krishna's service. I have many, many things you could, many, many plans you could, how to utilize money. Yes, we'll make a big plan how to make everyone in the world Krishna conscious. There, you know, want to hear a wonderful story? There was this Christian organization that produced a movie on the life of Jesus, but it was geared as a preaching movie, not entertainment. And at the end of it, it had a plea about accepting Jesus and becoming a Christian. So what churches were doing in one town, they were all buying these videos and they were going door to door and they were giving out the videos free. And they say about 50% of the people who watched the video became born again Christians. So I thought, well, what a wonderful way to utilize money, to produce something, a documentary, something about Krishna consciousness that's so convincing that half the people who see it want to become devotees and give those out and fund those. It was the same thing for books. You know, buy books and distribute them or give them to those who will distribute them. So they're, all the money in the world belongs to Krishna. So we're meant to use all that money in his service. Right? So Srila Prabhupada used to say that Lakshmi is next to Narayan, but the Ravanas have stolen Lakshmi from Narayan, and so that we want to give Lakshmi back to Narayan. So we're meant to be detached about money. That we see it as Krishna's energy and we use that in Krishna's service. How to donate to Krishna.com? Uddhava will tell you. How can you donate? There's a, if you go to Krishna.com and then there's a donation button. Yeah, there's a donation button on Krishna.com on the bottom. Can they all see that? No. If you go to the bottom of the homepage? If you go to the bottom of the homepage, there's a red line. It says About Us, Contact Us, and Donate. My suggestion is Krishna.com should put a big button on top somewhere that says Donate. Anyway, we need a camera, so maybe the first $350 we get donated will buy a camera. Okay, let's go. I am inspired to learn Kriya Yoga from Yogananda's devotees. Will I still be accepted by Krishna devotees? Yes. Kriya Yoga means Karma Yoga. Use everything we're talking about tonight is to use your abilities in serving Krishna. Krishna gave you abilities. He didn't give you those abilities to get ahead materially. He gave you those abilities to get ahead spiritually. So material life means I have a talent, I have ability, I have a certain level of intelligence. And I use that to advance myself materially, to advance my position in this world, to either become influential, powerful, wealthy, famous, whatever it may be. And utilize those same talents to glorify Krishna. I once wrote Srila Prabhupada a letter, and I was telling Prabhupada that I have a musical background and I would like to start a band, and if we become famous, then we'll have great influence over the younger generation. And then Prabhupada wrote me back, he said, don't try to become famous, try to make Krishna famous. So that's the idea. If you have a talent, use that talent to glorify Krishna. That's Kriya Yoga, that's Karma Yoga. That's what we're talking about. Otherwise, the very talent we have becomes the cause of creating negative karma. And it becomes the cause of material attachment, material consciousness. So look what, I mean, you look at Bhagavad Gita, you know, who would think that you could kill for God? I guess the, of course, nowadays, you know, different religions may interpret that. But in general, you would think those are really antithetical concepts. So here's Arjuna and Krishna saying that you have to fight. So if you can employ fighting for the right cause in Krishna's service, you can see how you can employ so many things in Krishna's service. Okay. Someone stole the camera, yeah. Just see. And had a bunch of recordings on the camera. I told the devotees they should call the pawn shops and see if the camera's there. Yeah. A lot of recordings were on that. Sometimes we can't avoid dishonest people. Then what? Then you act like a saint, and by seeing your behavior, maybe they'll become saintly also. I mean, that's possible. Is Krishna fair? Krishna is the most fair, but you may not think he's fair. But what you have to think is that if you give your life to Krishna, then whatever happens in your life, even though it doesn't seem fair, it's fair. That Krishna has your best interest in mind. Like sometimes something may happen and it may be bad, and you think, why did Krishna allow that to happen? But in the overall scheme of things, you may come to realize later on that it was good that happened, that you needed that to happen. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, you know, I don't like or hate anybody. I don't judge people. I like this one, I don't like that one. But he said, my devotees, he said, I'm equal to everyone, but for my devotees, have special affection. Because the devotees are giving their life up for Krishna. So naturally, he's more than fair for his devotees. Okay. There was a BTG on this article, is Krishna fair? You know, there's a verse for when a devotee suffers, he thinks, oh, this is all for my purification. And probably I should have gotten worse. So a devotee takes it in a positive way. Okay. All right. My mind is full of anger and hurt. I am chanting but do not see such effect. Why? Well, there may be many reasons. But first I would like to say this, that the contamination that affects us is very deep. And it is something we've accumulated over many, many lifetimes. So we have a certain disposition, a certain mold, I would say, if you understand, a certain way of thinking about things, about life, a certain way of relating to the world and other people, certain degree of material desires, a certain level of envy, greed, anger, resentment, pride, and so forth. And these things have been developing within us for many, many lifetimes. So then we begin Krishna consciousness and we start the process of purification, but those tendencies and that nature doesn't go away immediately. It takes many, many years. The better we chant, the more we become purified. But we have to not only chant, but we have to work on controlling our anger, controlling our resentment, giving it up. So through chanting, we become detached. As we become more detached, then we'll see the anger, the resentment. Because ultimately, if what did you say the qualities? Anger and hurt. When we're hurt, we want to hurt somebody else. So we're attached to hurting them. When we become detached, then we can let it go. We can just drop it and say, let that go. Like here, there is a bottle cap. See the bottle cap? Krishna put this bottle cap here just for you. Nod 53, NOD 53, this is for you. In this, I'm putting my hand in this, putting the bottle cap in my hand, you see here, right? And I'm closing my hand. I'm holding on to it. And this bottle cap represents what you said, anger and hurt. And I'm holding on to it, right? And I've been hurt and I've been angry for many years, maybe many lifetimes. And I've held on to it for so long that if I open it up, it feels awkward. It's not natural. I'm used to holding it, right? But that hurt and anger is not part of your soul. It's not part of you. So the hurt and anger, you could open it up and you could do what? Did you hear that? You could drop it. And now it's not in your hand anymore. That hurt and anger is not attached to you, but you're holding on to it. But you can drop it. So by chanting, the desire and the ability to let that go will gradually come. But it's not going to be easy. It's not going to happen all of a sudden. You have to want to give it up. You have to pray for the ability to give it up, for the intelligence, for the desire. Ultimately, for feeling hurt and anger, we're choosing to hold on to it. We're actually choosing to hold on to it. It's in the hand. We can let it go. We're choosing to hold on to it. Because when we've been hurt, we want to get back at the other person. So we hold on to anger. But you can drop it. I hope that helps you. We need a button that brings up the class and chats you at the same time. Is there one? No. In another yuga, we'll have it. Do the planets affect us if our desire to do something is strong enough? The planets do have an effect. And pure chanting can counteract that effect. Or the effect is there and we may not be as successful as we would like to be. But really, a lot depends on how we react to the situations. Let's say we're not successful, but we can still go on blissfully in Krishna consciousness. Planets have effect, they do. And the more Krishna conscious we are, the less effect they will have, or the more we'll be able to deal with the effects that they do have and not be so distraught, distressed, upset, unhappy by what happens. If our astrology is against what we're striving for, well, if you're working very, 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 very hard for something and it's very, very difficult to get, you don't want to work so hard that it impedes your Krishna consciousness. We're talking about working in a way that inspires our Krishna consciousness. So we have to take some sign, and we can also consult other devotees and try to understand what Krishna wants from us. Sometimes Krishna's just testing us. Sometimes he doesn't want it to happen and he's trying to deter us from doing it. And sometimes he's testing to see if we really want it and he's making it difficult. Maybe the stolen video footage will become famous now that it was stolen. Yeah, it could be Krishna's arrangement. Who knows? If you turn on the TV and you see me giving one of these classes on ABC, give me a call. They will know. It was all divine arrangement. Anyway, the person who stole the camera will watch the footage and maybe he'll become purified and return the camera. Hurt people, yes. Sounded like open a soda. No, it was already opened. It was here, just for NOD 53, Divine Arrangement. Okay. Natural desire for revenge. Okay, I want to tell you another story about natural. Prabhupada said, one time a devotee was with Prabhupada on an airplane, and some people were smoking on an airplane, and at that time they had smoking sections, but the people who were smoking were in the non-smoking section, and they were near Prabhupada, so the devotee asked the stewardess to ask the people not to smoke. And then later on in the flight, they were smoking again. So the devotee was upset, and again he asked the stewardess. And then Prabhupada turned to him and said, you know, just tolerate it. He said, don't act like an ordinary person. So, ordinary people will be hurt when they're mistreated. But we're devotees, so we're supposed to practice forgiveness. We may not feel that we can forgive, but we're supposed to practice it, at least. Let it go as far as possible. So we don't want to act, if we want to be a devotee, practicing devotee, we want to practice acting like a great devotee, a sadhu, a pure devotee acts. So that's humility. That's kindness, compassion, forgiveness. Those are such wonderful qualities. And if we practice living these qualities, we'll be much better people, and we'll have a positive influence on other people. And these qualities will help us develop those qualities further. If you practice those qualities, it will help you develop them further. We must accept unhappiness as much as happiness. Whatever Krishna gives us, we accept that. But there was revenge at Kurukshetra, but Krishna encouraged that, because to fight, there must be some revenge. But it was a positive thing. It was to establish dharma. So that was different. It wasn't personal revenge per se. And then within the world of kshatriyas, we're being trained to live like Brahmins. So kshatriyas have to have some revenge. But even it said, one of the qualities of the kshatriyas, the warriors, is forgiveness. So, you know, they would fight in the day, but at night they were friends. So try to figure that one out. It's interesting. You know, they're fighting for dharma, and in the evening they're meeting together. Utilizing YouTube, yes. Yeah. Futtas, yeah, that story. Pushta Krishna Swami, yeah. Otherwise we're just like them. Very nice. That was Pushta Krishna Swami, yeah. So we don't want to just... Otherwise we're just like everybody else. We are making an effort to be distinct from other people, not to be like ordinary people, but to be devotee. Devotee's not ordinary. So that's a very nice point. Otherwise, we'll be just like them. That is nice. So it's time to end. It's past time to end. So tonight, I would like you to meditate on what is your mission in Krishna's service, how Krishna wants to utilize you, what inspires you, what you can do, or what are you already doing that you could expand. Connect with where is your inspiration. And if you connect with your inspiration, then your life will be transformed. You'll wake up over in Bosnia, you'll be, if you connect with your inspiration, you'll be so inspired you won't even go to sleep tonight. You'll just stay up all night and plan how you want to serve Krishna. Okay. Oh, you don't know, Yadevi. You could become so inspired. Who knows what happens when you get inspired. Okay, we'll see you next week. If you have any questions in the meantime, you can email me at mahat@aol.com, and then I can answer it more clearly or more personally for you. Okay? And then if any of you have any know-how and want to put some of these videos on YouTube, just contact Krishna.com. And that would be nice. Okay. We're going to see you next Tuesday. We'll have to talk about Sariputta next week, okay? Yes, I knew him, but let's talk next week, all right? Okay, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you. Seems like they're more interested in just talk about anything, isn't it?